welcome back to the I'm Moving to Italy podcast. This is Nathan Heinrich, and I would like to welcome you back to Season 3, Episode 13. Today we have a really, really special episode. I feel like every episode I get to sit down and share with you is special, but this is the first time that I have the opportunity to interview someone here in Italy. And although this interview was not an in-person interview, of course, it's always better to be able to interview someone in person because the sound quality, but we had the next best thing that you can have these days, which is a virtual meeting over Zoom. So we were able to see each other's faces during this interview, and it was fantastic. So the couple that I had the privilege of interviewing today were Giulia and Tommaso. Over the past few months, I've been watching with real enthusiasm, and I've been watching them embark on this really, really adventurous voyage. And it's a literal voyage because they're doing it on a boat, and they have sailed around the majority of Italy. And I've been watching them do this. And they have a YouTube channel, which is called Sailing Around the Med. They also have an Instagram page, also by the same name, Sailing Around the Med. So you can definitely follow them. So I just wanted to really quickly give you a kind of a brief pre-introduction to Giulia and Tommaso. This is an almost 40-minute interview, so I'm going to jump right into it. The sound quality, because it wasn't an in-person interview, is not exactly what I would have liked it to be, but I was so grateful for the enthusiasm and the willingness that they trusted me to share their story with you. It's a real gift when someone opens and shares who they are with you. And so I just want to thank both Giulia and Tommaso for their openness and their vulnerability and willing to share their story with us. I'm sure you're going to enjoy it as much as I did. So here's the interview that I conducted last week with Giulia and Tommaso. Enjoy. Ciao.
Ciao.
Buonasera. Thank you for taking the time to meet with me. I'm very, very grateful. I'm sitting here in my kitchen in our little village near Venice.
Yeah, whereabouts are you exactly? I saw next Venice, is it?
Coniano. Do you know where Coniano is? It's near Treviso.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, about 15 minutes from Treviso.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you were just in this area recently, right? Floating past?
Yeah, yeah. So we got the boat in Monfalcone, which is a small town next to Trieste.
Okay.
And we sailed all the way back to basically Rome. So we did 3/4 of Italy. By sail. We started in January the 13th, and yeah, we just got here like a month ago.
Wow. So to go from your starting point, and can you repeat again which city you started in?
Let's say Trieste, which is a little bit more famous than.
Okay, because I was going to say, I know Trieste, but the other city where you actually started, what was the name of it?
Monfalcone. Tiny little town.
Okay, so Monfalcone all the way to Rome.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, did you go down near Sicily?
Yeah, we did the Messina Strait, which is actually a pretty big deal, I guess.
I'm excited to hear about the details. I want to know how you both met, first of all.
That's a long story, but we officially met on a boat doing a race, which started in Rome, and then you needed to go all the way to Sicily, cross an island which is called Lipari, and then go back to Rome.
Wow.
So yeah, that was 7 days.
5 days.
5 days. And yeah, that's how we met.
So you were both on a crew? You were crew members on a racing boat?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And how long ago was this? When did you meet?
Like, actually a year ago. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Ago. So you're not married. Yeah. This is, you're just boyfriend, girlfriend.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. What a great story. And then, so 1 year ago, you met during the pandemic in 2021?
Yeah.
Okay. On this race, on this boat down to Sicily and back to Rome. Now what you're doing now, that you've come a long ways since that first time you met on that race together. First of all, I'm going to ask you about what you're doing and why, but I want to know, where did the idea come from, first of all, to what you decided to do, that crazy trip?
Yeah, so basically our goal is to travel the world with a sailboat. And we're going to cross the Atlantic in November, because there's this wind, which is called Alize in Italian,
yes.
I don't know in English.
Okay.
And they basically bring you from the east to the west. And usually people cross the Atlantic in November.
Yes.
So that's what we're going to do. And then we're going to be in Caribbean for a while. And then let's see, maybe we're going to go in South America. Maybe we're going to do the Panama and just keep going. So that's the final goal.
Wow.
But and that's why we were looking for a boat really carefully, because it had to be a boat that allowed us to basically travel the world, so a boat that was safe and well structured, and that's why we got it in Trieste, which is pretty far from Rome, but
right.
It was the one, let's say. And how we decided to do that, basically we were both passionate about sailing since we were young, but we didn't know each other. So I used to do races in a small boat, catamaran actually.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to be a skipper, work on boats, be the captain. And we both wanted basically to travel and be on the sea and basically live on a boat. But, you know, that was like in the back of our minds. And that was just a dream, right? And then we met. And after these 5 days, I remember at night, we got back to land. And Tommaso was like, you know, I really want to travel the world with a sailboat. And I was like, no way, me too. And he was like, okay, let's try. And we went together. We didn't kiss. Nothing happened, you know. We were just like two people that had the same goal. And then after a while, I guess, we also fell in love.
Incredible. What a great story. Oh, I love it. Okay, I'm going to do my best to ask Tommaso a couple of questions in Italian. I have three questions for it, and I think you already answered some of them, but here, I'm going to practice, okay? So just bear with me. Okay. Chi ti ha insegnato a navigare e quanti anni hai navigato, Tommaso?
Okay. Ho imparato a navigare per una passione di famiglia, quindi con mio padre inizialmente, e poi all'età di 22 anni ho preso la patente nautica, ho fatto il corso, ho preso la patente nautica, e da lì ho iniziato a fare lo skipper d'estate, quindi portavo la barca per altre persone, e così insomma durante tutto quanto il periodo estivo, e poi ho cominciato a fare alcune regate sempre per quanto riguarda l'altura, quindi diciamo barche oltre i 40 piedi, e da lì è nata tutta quanta la passione verso il mare, la vela, e poi ho incontrato lei.
Excellent, grazie mille. Okay, would you like to give a synopsis of that answer for us, Julia?
Yeah, sure. So he said he got his passion from his family, precisely his dad. And from there, he was always on sailboat when he was a young kid. And then he got passionate about it. So he got the license when he was 22. And he started to work on boats by his own. So he was basically the captain of really big boats. He spent the whole summer basically being the captain of these big boats for certain people. And then he started also to do races in winter. So... And then I met her, which I think is pretty romantic again.
Excellent. Thank you. Grazie, Tommaso. Grazie. Ok, un'altra domanda per te. Qual è stata la cosa più impegnativa che hai incontrato durante questo viaggio in Italia?
Abbiamo incontrato diverse situazioni impegnative. E una tra tutte, diciamo forse la più spaventosa, siamo entrati, diciamo, in un groppo, in una perturbazione, dove tra temporali, fulmini, venti oltre i 45 nodi, mare formato forza 8, e stavamo navigando, dove era, che tratta era? Dopo Acropoli sicuramente.
No, prima forse, prima. In Puglia, tra la Puglia
e la Campania, esattamente come location. Penso quella sia stata una delle situazioni più particolari che ho vissuto.
Grazie mille, grazie.
So he said the most scary one and most challenging one as well was we were crossing these two regions, which are Campania and Puglia.
Yep.
And we got into a storm, a thunderstorm actually, and we got with more than 45 knots of wind, which is 90 kilometers per hour of speed, and the rain and thunders, especially the thunder, were really scary. And he managed really well. I wasn't as cold blood, as we say in Italy, as him. But we loved it, and it was nice. It's dangerous because the thunder can actually get on the mast and do pretty big damage on the boat.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the lightning hitting the right.
Yeah,
I can imagine. And then you have all your equipment, your electronic equipment, right? That could be a real problem.
Yeah.
Wow, incredible. Okay. Yeah. Grazie mille, Tommaso. Grazie mille. Okay, so a question about your families. I want to know if anyone in your family is nervous about this very brave, kind of potentially dangerous thing that you both have decided you want to do, at least for part of your life, by traveling the world on a boat.
Yeah, well, I'll start with my family. They're not the happiest. Imagine that before COVID, I was living in London and I was working in finance. So they much rather my old version. But anyway, you know, when you are all grown up, they can of course give advices, but at some point they have to deal with the reality, I guess. So now they're getting it a little bit better. For example, last week it was their first meeting with the boat, so they came over to see the boat, and that was pretty nice. They liked it as well, which was a big goal. And I'm gonna ask Tommaso what about his.
Okay, great.
Quindi
c'è la mia famiglia, sì, è molto contenta. Alla fine sono anche loro, diciamo, navigatori, quindi capiscono bene il senso e la mia voglia di esplorare.
So his family is much happier and much more understandable. they all are sailors as well.
Yep.
Especially the dad. They did a lot of races together. I also think it's something that they share, so you know, kind of that son vibe. So they are much happier than mine, but
fantastic. I can understand that they probably would understand because they have more experience, but I also can really understand your family. How interesting that you made such a huge drastic change. Your mother must probably have a hard time sleeping at night worrying about you, huh?
A little bit.
So okay, do you mind my asking how old both of you are?
Yeah, I'm 27 and he's 32.
Wow. Perfect time to do something like this in your lives. Incredible. Okay. So I want to ask you some questions about sleeping on the boat. How difficult it is for you to sleep. I would imagine it's probably different depending on what the weather is like. But do you have to sleep in shifts or can you both sleep at the same time? And then also, how about eating? Like, who cooks on the boat and what do you eat?
So, for what concerns sleeping, no, we can't sleep together if we are sailing. Just one person can sleep and the other one has to be awake. and usually we do 30 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah.
30 minuti.
Yeah, I do 40, he does 20, to be honest. But this crossing was actually really hard because we had no instruments, basically, so we had to go with our sight, and also at night, which, you know, it's really not recommendable. I won't recommend this whatsoever, but we wanted to do all the work in one place, because it will be also cheaper for us. That's why we did the whole crossing without instruments. And now, at the moment, actually, as we're speaking, we are building all the improvements, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, basically, we don't sleep together. We do shift, and I do sleep a little bit more than him. This, we'll have to say.
Oh, wow. I can't even imagine. Okay, so tell me about food. Who cooks, and what do you eat?
So we both cook, actually. Yeah, we both cook. And I mean, for depends really by the weather, because if there's a lot of, like, if the weather is rough, you just grab like a rice cake or some, yeah, bresaola, you know, that cured me,
or some
a piece of fruit, really, like something that gives you energy but doesn't take you a lot to eat. And yeah, we hope that we will be able to fish as well, so that we can cook some fish. Yeah, at the moment we were too fast to fish, so.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So I'm assuming that you're not sailing all the time, right? You stop in certain, like, what do you call them? Harbors? What's the word in Italian? Come si dice italiano? Port?
You can stop in harbor, which is porti, yes, but we prefer to stop in the, we call it caleta, which is basically where the land allows you to stay with the anchor,
mm-hmm.
and you just sleep there.
So you put the anchor down. I'm assuming you take all of the sails down.
Yeah.
And then you just sleep.
Because
you're not moving, so that's when you can sleep, when you're not moving.
Exactly.
Interesting.
And, you have to study the weather and see if you are protected in that anchorage. So basically, if the wind is blowing exactly inside that anchorage, you're not gonna sleep there, but you go somewhere where it's protected. Let's say there's like a little mountain or a little hill that protects you from the wind, then there you're fine.
Interesting. Now, do you have to, this is just a curiosity, if you go into a port, let's say you want to stop at a grocery store and buy some food,
yeah,
or get out and walk around on dry land for a little while, eat at a restaurant,
yeah,
or get a pizza or something.
Yeah.
Do you have to pay normally to stop at a port in Italy?
Yeah.
Paga?
And actually, it's really expensive, yeah.
Oh, really?
Because Italy, it's, as I think you appreciate, it's a beautiful place. So a lot of people want to come, especially in summer. And the harbor charges you, like, I don't know, up to 400, 500 euro per night in summer. So we go in an anchorage and we get the dinghy, which is that small little boat that some boat have with a little engine, and we go to land and then we come back to the boat for free.
Smart. Okay, that's good to know. You talked about something you were passionate about was clean oceans,
yeah,
which I find to be very fascinating and really a wonderful goal. Tell me about how that plays into what you're doing. Are you interested in raising awareness? Tell me what your passion is in relation to the clean oceans.
So we do our best every time we are out and about, even if we're not on the boat, but we're just walking, or even say 2 weeks ago we were in Tuscany in the beautiful hills, and even there we were picking up plastic, because somehow then it gets to the sea, you know, it gets to a river that then brings it to the sea, or the wind blows it to the sea. So in our personal life, we always try to do our best to clean up anything that we see, basically, and try to use as little plastic as we can, try to collect the oil, for example, when you cook, do all of these things. And on top of it, we want to raise awareness as well, because I really think that people don't know how bad the situation is. When you sail or you are in the middle of the sea, you really realize how much plastic and microplastic is around, which is super bad. And yeah, we try to do our best to, you know, share pretty content, like people watch it for fun, and then put a little peel, educational peel there, and say, like, you know, if you do this little step, all of us, then we can really make a difference, because it's not too late, but it's getting really, really bad.
Interesting. That's very true. And did you notice, I mean, you both sailed quite a bit, it sounds like, but on this last trip, as you're sailing around the beautiful country of Italy, did you see, and what did you see in the water?
Yeah, a lot of plastic. You have no idea how much plastic is out. Yeah, and it's, as Tommaso rightly pointed out, it's microplastic. So it's, let's say you get a piece of, like a paper bag, not paper bag, a plastic bag in the sea, then with time, a lot of time, that bag gets destroyed in little pieces, so that maybe you can't really see them as much as you will see a bag, yet it's exactly the same amount of plastic. And that plastic is little and it gets eaten by fishes, say. And then even if you want to be just like selfish, think about the fish you eat. That fish has plastic inside, because the fish eats the little piece of plastic, and then the big fish eats the small fish that got the plastic inside, and it's all a bad circle, if you know what I mean.
You're right, it's a serious problem. The birds as well. Everything in the ocean. The birds are eating the plastic. It's a serious, serious issue. You're absolutely right, Julia. It's something that a lot of people don't realize.
Yeah.
And I think it's something that a lot of people feel helpless. You made a really good point, which is you may not be throwing trash in the ocean, but if you drop something anywhere near a beach or anywhere at all, it can end up in the ocean. Because
yeah,
it can go into a river, and the rivers feed into the ocean. So,
and we look at the ocean because we're passionate about it, but plastic is really everywhere. When we were looking for this boat, we went everywhere in Italy. We went with the car. So we were crossing really these beautiful places in Puglia or these beautiful places in Tuscany. And you see plastic like literally everywhere, even under the olive tree, or like you have this beautiful scenery at the sunset and you're like, wow, this is really beautiful, and then you look down and it's full of plastic, and that plastic gets melted and goes on the tree, in the tree, and then in the olive, and then your olive oil, it's, you know, all screwed. If you don't look at the, like, you know, nice picture of the nature, just look at yourself and what you eat, you know, and be selfish and don't throw plastic.
Absolutely. What a great point. Yeah, I have to say, in some of my research, I found that Italy is one of the best countries in the world, the best countries in Europe, but also one of the best countries in the world for handling trash and waste. I mean, Italy recycles a huge percentage, more than most countries, and it's still a problem here.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's incredible. I was, just a personal story, I was down in Cliento in Campania. I don't know if you know where that is. And I was swimming in the ocean, and I felt something around my legs, and I was like, you know, kind of panicked because I thought something was attacking me. And it was one of those packages that the bottles of water are wrapped in. You know, you buy 6 bottles of water, and the plastic packaging that wraps that was floating in the water, and I got wrapped around my leg, and I was like, what? And that was my first experience really experiencing garbage in the Mediterranean Sea. And I was kind of like, man, this is a big, huge piece of plastic. What's going to happen out of this plastic? I pulled it out of the ocean, but then I was like, how many more are there, you know?
Yeah, because literally you think here it's all like pretty and shiny, and like, as you rightly said, it's a really good situation for handling and recycling waste, but yet it's bad. So imagine elsewhere, right? And at the end of the day, the water, it's the same all over the world. You know, we can call it Mediterranean, we can call it ocean, whatever, but at the end of the day, it's the same water, so...
Yeah, absolutely. I want to quickly ask you a couple other quick questions, and then I'm going to ask how people can support you, if you have a way for people to support your ventures and where they can find you. So make sure I don't let us go before I ask you those questions.
Okay.
So I want to quickly ask you, what is your doctorate degree in?
I studied in as I told you, UK and US, actually, in San Francisco.
Wow.
And I know that there you have to be a doctor, and you have, in order to be a doctor, you have to get a doctorate.
Yes.
Rather, or a PhD is called, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But here you get a, you are a doctor if you have a bachelor. So
yes.
So I'm not a doctor, but I did bachelor and master overseas, and then I came back here just a year ago.
Excellent.
Yeah, I'm a doctor.
I understand. Okay, now that's something I had to learn when I moved to Italy a couple years ago. I learned that here you are considered a doctor in whatever field you're in, even if you just have a bachelor degree. So you have a bachelor's and a master's, I'm assuming, in finance?
Yeah, economics and finance.
Incredible. So you, interestingly enough, you studied in San Francisco, and I am from California, and so growing up... Yeah. So growing up, San Francisco was my big city growing up, and I spent a lot of time there. And some of the very first time that I was on a sailboat, Barca Vela, was in the bay of San Francisco.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. My story about my family. My mom's side of the family are from Sweden and Norway, and so my great grandfathers came, and they were ship captains, and they would sail from San Francisco up to Alaska when they were when they were getting gold out of Alaska, and so they would take the all the supplies and all the men and take them up to Alaska and back to San Francisco. So,
wow, so cool.
I have always had this kind of desire to do what you guys are doing, which is why I find it so fascinating. So it's kind of a little bit in my blood, I think, as well.
Yeah, you should come over and we can bring you out.
When you return from your international trip around, I will definitely come and meet you on your boat, and we'll do some filming, and you'll have so many more stories to share. We'll definitely have to do that. I'm looking forward to it. Well, I want to thank you for taking the time for this interview. I know you're both busy. You're trying to get your boat ready for the next adventure and the voyage. And I would like to have you tell me, I'm going to put a link on my website for everybody to be able to find you. So I'm going to put all the links on there. But if you could just share the name of your YouTube channel, the name of your Instagram, anything else that you want people to follow you on, TikTok, whatever you have. And then also, do you have a way for people to support you? Do you have a GoFundMe page or a way for people to donate to your cause and follow you around the world?
Not at the moment. The best thing you can do to support us is collect that piece of plastic you see on the ground, and that will make us really happy. But if you want to follow us, that will be great, actually. We are at Sailing Around the Med as Mediterranean, and you can find us on Instagram and YouTube. On TikTok, we are too old, unfortunately. We really wish we could be there, but it's a bit too young for Facebook.
Absolutely. Okay, so Sailing Around the Med, that's you, that's the YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And that's also the name of the Instagram, right?
Exactly. You can find us with that anywhere. Also on Facebook. Mainly we are on Instagram and YouTube.
Okay. So on my new website, All Roads Lead to Italy, I'm going to have a page specifically for interviews. So I'm going to have all of this interview and everything and all your information linked there. So people will be able to go to my website. And when I share this episode on the podcast, I'll have all that set up so they can go check it out and follow you directly, so they don't have to try to search for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, I just want to thank you both for your time. This was very interesting. You are both like my heroes for many reasons. For one reason, because of what you're doing with raising awareness about cleaner oceans and plastic, but also how brave you both are to cross the Atlantic Ocean in a sailboat. Oh man, incredible.
Thank you. But when you are in two, it's, you know, you just get 50% of the of all the bad things, yeah. And 100% of the good ones. So.
Well, you make a great team. I'm going to be following you, and I'll be reaching out every once in a while to see how you're doing. I'll leave comments and ask you what's going on. So are you able to, the one final question I had for you about the power on the boat. Are you on solar power or do you have some gas as well?
We are installing solar panels, and we are thinking about getting a wind turbine as well, so that we are fully eco-sustainable. Our engine is electric as well, so yeah, we try to be as little impactful as possible.
Incredible. When I was watching your videos about trying to find that boat, what a challenge. You're not kidding. You did travel all over Italy trying to find that boat. And you had deals that fell through, and you made offers and they didn't work out.
Yeah.
Incredible.
It's not as easy as being actually, so it was more of a struggle than we initially thought, but it was for sure worth it.
Well, I'm so grateful that you didn't give up and that you continued to persist in your goals. So bravo to you both. Tommaso,
thank you.
Grazie mille. And thank you, Giulia and Tommaso. It's a real pleasure to meet you both. Piacere. And I will be in touch. And as soon as I have this article ready to share with you, I will email you the article. You're going to be kind of in two articles, really. And then I'm going to send you the link to the episode that I'm going to air next week. So. I'm really excited. My listeners are going to really, really love to hear your stories. So I'm looking forward to sharing it with them.
Thank you. It was really a pleasure to meet you. And thank you for coming to Italy. You know, we have one new amazing citizen to be proud of. So I listened to your episode about, the Green Pass and the ID card and all of this. And I was like, oh, poor guy, you know, I got my American visa in 1 second, and I can't imagine how much you struggled to get all these documents.
Well, thank you. It's been great. Americans love Italians. So anytime Italian wants to come to America, we're always very happy about that. Well, thank you so much. I'm very, very much looking forward to following your journey, and also looking forward to meeting you both in person one day, having a nice dinner together and a bottle of wine, and we'll hear all your adventures.
Absolutely.
Okay. Ciao, ciao to both of you. Buona sera.
Thank you.
Ciao, ciao.
Bye-bye.
Wasn't that a fantastic interview? Aren't they the best? I wish you guys could have seen their expressions and their smiles and watched the interview. I tried recording it so I would have had the version of it that would have been recorded, so you could have seen the whole interview recorded, but for some reason our system wasn't working. I wasn't able to capture the actual screen of our faces talking to each other. So just use your imagination. The next best thing that you can do, of course, is to go to Sailing Around the Med on YouTube and follow Giulia and Tommaso's future really exciting adventures that they have coming up. And even though they said that they did not have a way for us to support them, I actually spent about an hour just today before I sat down to share this recording with you trying to set up a GoFundMe page for Giulia and Tommaso so that we can help support their efforts to raise awareness to keeping the Mediterranean Ocean and all oceans clean of plastic. The oceans are one of our world's most, if not the most, valuable resources. We are here to be caretakers of this earth, not to destroy it and plunder it. And we are really just temporary guests of this beautiful, incredible planet. And we're just caretakers for the next generation. It's for our own benefit and for the benefit of future generations that we are conscious of what's going on in the ocean. So because of that and how important this is, it's important to me, but it's also important to all of us. I know that all of us listening, the last thing in the world we want when we go to the ocean or when we want to spend some time on the Mediterranean Sea here in Italy, the last thing we want is to find garbage floating and plastic floating in the ocean. When we eat fresh fish, the last thing that we want is to know that there's microplastics and that fish has been polluted by trash being dumped into the ocean. So not only can we do things personally on a personal basis by using as little plastic as possible and making sure that it's processed correctly, but we also need to be putting pressure on our lawmakers to take this situation more seriously. And we also, I think, as a global community, need to be putting real pressure on the world's biggest polluters. China, I hate to say it, among many other things that China is doing in the world that I find to be very, very reprehensible, one of the things that the government of China is allowing is an incredible amount of pollution in the ocean. China pollutes more into the ocean than almost all the other nations in the world combined. It is incredible how much garbage and trash goes into the ocean. But it's not just China. It's all of us. I'm very, very passionate about this issue. But anyway, I wanted to be able to have us share and support this wonderful couple who has this vision for bringing awareness and doing something really special. They're not only living a really adventurous and fantastic life and experience by sailing across the oceans, not just around Italy, but, you know, not just sailing around the Med, but they're going to be sailing around the world. So anyway, I'm going to certainly be keeping you up to date. And this will probably not be the last interview I do with Julia and Tommaso. And in the future, when we have a YouTube channel, I can guarantee you I'm going to take them up on their offer and I'm going to go out in that boat with them and I'm going to film that and I'm going to share that with you too. So I guarantee you in the future, we will have a way to share our support directly in a financial, tangible way to show our support to this wonderful couple and to let them know how appreciative we are for them bringing awareness to this issue. And that's just one small thing that we can do. There are many other things that we as individuals can do. I know it seems like it's overwhelming and like what can just one single person do when there's billions of people in the world that maybe don't care as much as we do. But we have to do something. And if all of us do something, then that makes a real huge difference globally. This can be done. We can do this even with small steps. So bravo to you, Julia and Tommaso, for taking those small steps that you can take. We salute you and we are very proud of you. And thank you again for sharing your story with us. All right, well, that brings us to our reading, our Italian reading for the week. Now, you just heard me try to speak Italian to Tommaso, and you heard how poorly that went. So here I'm going to try to speak some more Italian by reading another very small section, because we've kind of had a long interview, and I don't want to have this episode go too much longer, but I'm going to share this quick reading from The Alchemist, which is what we've been reading. And this is a very short quote, but this kind of almost ties into what that wonderful couple that we just interviewed, what they are doing in their life. And they're following what I would say is their personal legend. Their personal legend, which is what Paulo Coelho in The Alchemist, the characters in The Alchemist, that's a big part of that story, is to sort of discover what your personal legend is. Another way to say personal legend, in the way I translate it, is what your purpose is. What is it that you are uniquely equipped and gifted to do that is burning in your heart that you know you need to do? That's what that voice in our hearts that's telling us that, oh, if I could just do that, it would be incredible. I was so inspired by what Julia and Tommaso did, because instead of just doing what many of us do, which is the easy thing to do, and that is to just say, well, you know, that's kind of hard, or that's kind of scary, or, I mean, that's intimidating, you know, to think about, yeah, I care about what's going on in the oceans, but do I really want to start a whole awareness project and put myself and my life on the line by, you know, getting a boat and sailing around the world? And I mean, that's an incredible commitment, but they're doing it. And so they are an example. Julia and Tommaso, they are examples of people who are not ignoring their personal legend. They are going after their personal legends. They are taking life by the horns, and they are going for it. And they're doing it in spite of what some people in their lives probably think about them. Maybe people from their childhood, maybe people in their own family that don't support them or think that they're crazy. I had the same exact thing when I moved to Italy. A lot of people thought I was crazy. A lot of people still think I'm crazy. They don't understand it, and that's okay. People don't have to understand what is right for us. We just have to know that it's right for us. And we don't even have to know how it's all going to work out. I just heard a quote this past week that says, jump and the net will appear. And that is what the definition of faith is. Sometimes it's scary to just jump out into an open void. But when we do that, life has a way of meeting us halfway and helping us. I'm not saying to literally go jump off of a bridge. I'm just saying take a leap of faith in life and take a leap of faith in yourself and go for it in life. So anyway, enough about all that. I'm very passionate about today's episode. And I'm also very passionate about this story and The Alchemist and everything that we talked about today. So, okay. So here is the reading for today from The Alchemist. This is still in that same conversation where we left off last week, where the young boy, Santiago, is talking to the king of Salem. His name is Melchizedek. And he is telling the boy kind of about why a lot of people don't seek out their personal legends and their purpose on earth. So after I read the Italian version, I'm going to allow Jeremy Irons to read a bit of the English version to give you a little bit more context. So here we go. Insomma, quello che la gente pensa dei venditori di fuochi, di mai e dei pastori diventa più importante della leggenda personale di chi ha sconto.
The old man pointed to a baker standing in his shop window at one corner of the plaza. When he was a child, that man wanted to travel too. But he decided first to buy his bakery and put some money aside. When he's an old man, he's going to spend a month in Africa. He never realized that people are capable at any time of their lives of doing what they dream of. He should have decided to become a shepherd, the boy said. Well, he thought about that, the old man said. But bakers are more important people than shepherds. Bakers have homes, while shepherds sleep out in the open. Parents would rather see their children marry bakers than shepherds. The boy felt a pang in his heart, thinking about the merchant's daughter. There was surely a baker in her town. The old man continued, in the long run, what people think about shepherds and bakers becomes more important for them than their own personal legends.
I love that particular section of The Alchemist. I hope you enjoyed that from today's reading, and I hope you were able to sort of make that connection that I mentioned about that fantastic couple that we just heard from today, and kind of about them and how they are absolutely, they're following, they're seeking their personal legend and their purpose in life, and they're doing it fearlessly. So anyway, I want to quickly thank today's sponsor, which is ExpressVPN. If you are planning an extended trip to Italy or you are planning to move to Italy, one of the things that you will find to be absolutely essential in moving here will be an ExpressVPN service. Now, if you go to imovingtoitaly.com, there is a new page called the Italy Kit. And that will take you to an article that I recently wrote about some of the things that I feel are the most important when you move to Italy. I talk about the VPN service in that, and I sort of break it down even more in depth. But I also list a bunch of other things that I think are really important when you move to Italy. And sometimes they're things that are easy to forget about. I talk about converters and, you know, for your chargers and how to adapt them for Italy. I talk about the VPN service. I talk about Italian healthcare in there. And I talk about some of the different language and translator apps that I think are good and important for you to have. So anyway, you can go to imovingtoitaly.com, go to the page on the menu that's called the Italy Kit, and you can check out ExpressVPN in that article. I want to thank them again for being such fantastic sponsors of our show. Well, that brings us to our surrounding sounds for this week's episode, and today I'm going to be sharing some sounds from Giulia and Tommaso as they're searching for their boat. These are sounds that I got from their social media and from their YouTube channel. So the sounds may not be as perfect as I would like them to be, but you'll get a sense for kind of a glimpse into what their life has been. And I certainly suggest that you go check out all of their links. Go to YouTube again, which is Sailing Around the Med. Follow them, subscribe to them on YouTube, watch their videos. That actually helps them. Just by going and watching their videos, that's a way to support them. And so, I'm going to find a way for us to, as an audience, to be able to give our financial support to them. And when I have that available, I'll share that with you. Maybe we'll make that available in our next interview with them. But anyway, I'll keep you up to date on that. I'm going to be sharing some sounds of Giulia and Tommaso as they're searching for their sailboat before they buy it, some of the challenges that they had. Most of it is Giulia talking, and she's speaking in English, which is great. Then you're going to hear some sounds of them on the boat, and they're going to be speaking some Italian, so you're going to get a wonderful mix of English and Italian. So enjoy those sounds. And then also I have the sound of the rain that finally came over the weekend here in northern Italy. We've been in an almost 120-day drought here in northern Italy. So we were very grateful to get some rain, and hopefully that's the sign that the drought is finally over. We're hoping for lots more rain. And so anyway, I captured the sound of a really, really heavy rainstorm that was coming down here this past weekend, so I have that sound for you as well. So enjoy those sounds, and I will be back afterwards to say goodbye.
So we're going to Tuscany. We're driving at the moment, Tommaso is, and we're going to check out a new boat, which we didn't consider before. It's Sly 42. Everyone told us that's not the boat for us, it's not a good boat, it had a lot of problems, but we still want to really go and check it out because, I don't know, we really do like it. And we're gonna bring you with us. Unfortunately, we lost the boat. We've been unlucky because the owner has been a bit, let's say unprofessional, maybe is the right word, because we made an offer and then another person made an offer after us, and he basically offered 5,000 euro more, and the owner accepted that offer without even letting us matching this offer, basically. And then we've been doing like so many research. Imagine that we have this boat on our mind, which is an Azzurre, either 33 or 40. If you have anything, let us know, please.
And we've been looking at the ranking of the races, and we've been contacting the owner on the race schedule. You know, you have the name of the boat and the name of the owner of the boat. We've been texting these people, like finding them on Facebook, Instagram, but yeah, no one is willing to sell, or if they are, they are giving us crazy prices, and unfortunately we can't afford yet those numbers. But yeah, so now we're still looking. Today we went surfing, so we went to clean up a little bit of beach as well today. So yeah, we are still here, we're still looking, and we're gonna let you know if anything comes up.
Hi. It's freezing. So we wanted to wait, let me put the belt. Okay, here we are. We needed to put the belt on because safety first. Basically, we wanted to update you. We went for a walk in the harbor. Basically, we did all the harbor next to Rome, which is where we live now, unfortunately, but soon in the middle of the sea, hopefully. And we looked for boats that we could hypothetically like, and we found a couple. Those boats are all private of people that own them and they don't want to sell it. But we were like, you know, why not to try to kind of reach these people and ask if they want to sell. So we brought with us some paper and a pen, and we started to basically write down on this paper, we would like to buy your boat. Are you interested in selling? And if yes, call us on this number. We did that last week, and no one reached out, unfortunately. I don't know if it's because they thought it was crazy or because they don't actually want to sell, or I don't know. But this week the weather was pretty bad, so we thought maybe people didn't go to the boat. Tomas is attempting again. Dove lo metti?
Qua.
Ma vedi se c'è quello vecchio. Con la flash del telefono.
Ma come l'ho trovato?
Eh? Sono miciliane.
Che sei? Explain us.
Saremo in grado.
Today we've received the robusto, which is the eater, obviously, because it's really too cold and you can't sail at night without it. And today Maso, he's gonna build it. He doesn't really know if he's gonna be able to do it. But we're gonna try our best. Hello! So we got the forecast adjourned for today, and the weather is 25 to 35 knots of wind, and Tomas is coming in, and the peak is gonna be around 40 to 50 knots, but the waves are fine. It's like about 2.5 meters max, and now we're waiting for the harbor to open us the fuel station, because you have to call and they open up and you can fuel up, and then we're gonna go. So now out of the harbor it's like 25-27, and there's the squall, which basically this is us, this is the squall, and the squall is gonna do like this, and then it's gonna pass us. So at the beginning it's gonna be a bit challenging, but then it's gonna be better. And there's a second squall which is coming as well. It's gonna be a bit challenging, but then it's gonna be better. And there's a second squall. We have a lot of hardboard that we can get in case there's a need to, because the second squall, it's actually bigger than this one of today. It's like 35 to 40, so better maybe be in the harbor. But we're gonna let you know. Hello, we're back. Sorry for my face. I didn't sleep in
3 days. Maybe I slept like 2 hours. But anyway, so what happened yesterday, basically we lost a lot of miles and a lot of time. And we want to tell you why, so maybe you will find it useful. When we got the boat, we knew that it had no radar, no AS, no nothing, basically. So we had to navigate with our sight, which we're fine with. I mean, it's not the best case scenario, but we want to make all the jobs on board in one location. So we want to do solar panel, water maker, obviously radar, AS, autopilot, everything. But we want to do it in one place because first, it's easier for us, like logistically. And second, I get a better price as well, which is important. So we always rather navigate away from land, because next to the land, especially here in the Adriatic, you have a lot of fishing boa and like net and a lot of stuff which are not even officially on the map. For example, you won't find them on avionics, so it's super hard at night to recognize them. So we'd rather be outside. We get wind, we get sea, we're fine with it. Yesterday, we saw the weather forecast and we knew that there were 30 knots. We knew that there was wave. We were fine with it. We went ahead and we took the wave. We took the wind and it was fine. Actually, we thought the wave were slightly smaller than what they actually were. And this morning we heard on channel 68, which is the channel of the weather, that it was sea strength 7, which means that waves are within 6 and 8 meters, which, to be honest, I didn't realize and I'm happy with. Like I saw, they were actually really big, but you know, at night you don't really have the same like idea of what's going on.
Non è vero! Non ci credo, abbiamo pescato!
Hai fatto un morso, ho sentito come andava.
Dai, non è vero che non l'abbiamo preso! Davvero! Vai, 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 Tommaso, vai! Oddio, amore, che bello! È il nostro primo pesce!
Eccolo!
Che bello, amore! Che bello, che gioia! Vuoi che ti prendo il retino? Così secondo me stai tirando troppo forte, no?
No, ma slitta, decisamente. Vedi che slitta, cioè. Se fa trazione lui.
Non c'è niente, non c'è niente. Ma scusa, ma tu che sentivi?
Ma era uno scherzo, dunque.
Dai, non è vero. Cetraro, eccoci qua, Tommaso Mozzo, versione Mozzo mattutina.
Butta la spazzatura.
Stiamo uscendo dal porto, sabato mattina, tempo incerto, ma abbiamo controllato, dovrebbe essere brutto stanotte, dove ci fermeremo in porto. La famosa secca di Cetraro, scusate, abbiamo sbagliato il dito.
Thank you for coming back and sharing this time with me. I love when I get to sit down on Mondays and share this time with you. It is one of the highlights of my week. I just got a wonderful letter from my dear friend and listener, Becky, in Washington, D.C., and she actually just got some fantastic news about her great-grandfather's documentation and immigration paperwork that's going to help her as she gets her Italian dual citizenship. So congratulations to Becky. And also, we have a listener whose name is Steve. He's from Chicago. And I've been in touch with Steve over the past few months, and he has been, you know, he has this goal he's been working towards to move to Italy. And he's doing everything right. He got all his housing and everything here set up in Italy. He knows exactly where he's going to be. He's got his place lined up. He's moving out. I believe he's selling his place or moving out of his place in Chicago. And he went through all the correct steps to get a visa. And you have to turn over your passport when you are in the process of getting a visa for Italy. And he's coming down to the wire, and he still hasn't gotten his visa, and he hasn't gotten his passport back yet, because they're holding all of that as it's being processed. So he's in this kind of squeeze period, and I'm really feeling for him. So whether or not you pray, whether or not you believe in positive energy, let's all just lift our friend, our fellow brother and listener, Steve, up. And let's send him good vibes and warm thoughts and prayers and good energy. And anything positive we can send your way, Steve, we're sending it your way. We want to have good news about you getting your visa and you getting your passport back so you can travel to Italy and start your new life here. So as soon as I get some good news about Steve's situation, I'll share that with you. And who knows, maybe in the future we'll even have him be a guest and tell us about his sort of harrowing experience with his visa and all of that. And I'd also love to hear from Becky in the future and have her on the show and tell us about her process about getting her dual citizenship through her great-grandfather's heritage. So thank you for sharing your stories and your lives with me. I love hearing from you. And thank you for allowing me to share mine and my story with you. So, wherever you are listening to the sound of my voice this week, I hope you are healthy and well. And I look forward to being back here with you next week. So until then, take care. God bless. Ciao, ciao, ciao.